That was Ave Regina Caelorum, I-8, by Victoria, sung by the 16, and led by Harry Christophers. I'm thrilled to have two members of the Valley Consort here in the WLRH studios to talk about their upcoming concert. Welcome, Artistic Director Christian Crocker and Assistant Conductor Michael Weinberg.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us here.
We're thrilled to have you in the studios. And so tell us, Valley Consort, what is it?
Well, Valley Consort actually started, I want to say, 7 or 8 years ago by Chris Walters and Brian Page as Huntsville Collegium Musicum. After several years, we realized that hardly anyone could pronounce the name. And we weren't only doing early music around the time that Chris and Brian both left. So in order to have our name be more accessible and also to broaden our repertoire, we decided over the summer that we would change our name to something that was a little bit more accessible and broad. So we changed it to Valley Consort, being that we're in the Tennessee Valley.
That sounds great. Well, so you're not exactly a new group. You have a new name.
Right.
So a lot of the same people are in the group?
Actually, I think there may only be three people who have been in the group, three people who've been in the group since its inception. Mm-hmm. Over the years, every year it changes. We add new people. One of my goals as artistic director has been to make the group a little bit larger so that we can do some more stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of difficult to do 8-part music with 8 people sometimes, especially when we're all on busy schedules.
I was going to say, no room for error or sickness,
right.
or conflicts in the schedule. That's probably not very easy. Well, Michael, in your day job, you serve as choral director for Randolph School. You direct all mm-hmm. the choirs there. How does an unconducted group, or does somebody conduct? How does it differ in rehearsal and performance technique when you're just all standing there singing?
Mm-hmm. In Valley Consort, formerly known as Huntsville Collegium Musicum, we typically do everything unconducted. When we're rehearsing, whoever's leading the piece might wave their hand up and down just to keep time, mm-hmm. or do a little head bobbing, sort of a la student conductor from high school madrigal choir, maybe, which is
okay.
something that I did, just to keep things together. But we don't typically have somebody standing out front conducting and not singing, as you would typically see with conducted ensembles. Mm-hmm. And at Randolph, I typically stand in front of the group and conduct. And just a side note, the founder of Huntsville Collegium Musicum, Chris Walters, was my predecessor
right.
at Randolph. So there's a nice connection there with the Randolph family and with this ensemble. But most of the time in concerts, I certainly stand up in front of the school choirs and conduct, but we also have a little contemporary a cappella group, mostly doing a cappella arrangements of pop music that's somewhat student-led, somewhat led by me, and for that I usually stand off to the side and kind of do the same thing that we do in Valley Consort, where mm-hmm. I don't really conduct but just kind of lead either with my hand lightly or with my head. So
okay.
it's interesting that there's actually some similarity between contemporary pop and Renaissance music.
Right. This might have been the greatest, newest thing back in the Renaissance.
You know.
Well, Christian, your day job is to be the organist and choir master at the Episcopal Church in the Nativity. So how does an a cappella group start on the right note, on the right pitch, and how do they stay in tune while they're singing? How does that work? You're used to playing an organ with your choir or a piano. I mean, what gives in the a cappella groups?
Well, the goal is hopefully that we will stay in tune. So I usually use a tuning fork, bang it on my knee, and just find the pitch, and then I'll sing it for everyone, the starting pitch, and then we're off to the races. And most people, if not all, are able to find their note just from the one pitch that I give.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work tirelessly on tuning through our rehearsals. All of our music, except for the Bach on our program, is a cappella. But we've been rehearsing the Bach a cappella just because it's important that we have everything be in tune with each other and with our own section. And even with ourselves, making sure that our individual instrument is right on, especially with this Rheinberger that we have in the program, these romantic harmonies, they require some really tight tuning. So it takes a lot of work, but in the end, it's totally worth it.
Well, it is. I've been to some of your performances, and that's what I noticed, that you guys were most all the time perfectly in tune. And I know that doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't even happen when you just merely have really good vocalists. You have to work on that together and individually to make it turn out that way. So the first piece that we listened to, the Victoria, that's going to be on your upcoming concert. Mm-hmm. And also, let's listen to some more music quickly. Here's Lobet den Herren by Johann Sebastian Bach. And it will also be on the program.
Yep.
Right here today, we'll hear it sung by the Monteverdi Choir, conducted by John Elliott Gardner.
Oh!
This is Morning Blend. We've been listening to some Bach, and we're listening to it on a recording. And also, I have the pleasure of listening to my two guests, Michael Weinberg, Christian Crocker, members of the Valley Consort, kind of sing along their own parts. So that's been fun.
Irresistible.
Right, right. Well, Michael, tell me why you chose this piece for your upcoming concert.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually serving double duty because I'm giving my final conducting recital for my doctoral degree in December. And so we decided to get a jump start on that and learn a couple of the pieces early since they're fairly difficult. So we get a second shot at performing them, sort of a little warm up.
Always a good idea.
Absolutely. Bach, I mean, I know for both Christian and myself, certainly one of our favorite composers, if not the favorite composer, but certainly in the top three or five. And for many singers, especially choral singers, Bach is, even though he's relatively early in terms of musical history, the pinnacle of choral music, certainly of Baroque music. The music is just so complex, and there's so many layers to it, and it's so satisfying to sing and to study. This particular piece, I've always loved it. It's really fun to sing, and out of his collection of six or seven motets, depending on whom you ask and if he actually wrote some of them or not, they're some of his most complex and virtuosic pieces he wrote for choral ensembles. And this one is probably one of the most accessible because it's one of the shortest. On one of our concerts last year, we actually sang one of the other motets, Come Jesu Come, which is for double choir, so eight parts instead of just four. But Lobodein Herren's a little bit shorter, and it's only four parts, so it's a little bit more accessible to learn. And it's really fun to sing. If you heard the recording just now, it starts off with this rising kind of arpeggio line, and it's got lots of melismas, which are like coloratura runs. And then the middle section, it's got some really lovely suspensions and more chromatic harmony and more sustained singing. And then it ends with that fun little alleluia kind of fugue thing. So it's got a little bit of everything in it.
That sounds wonderful. Well, in my opinion, there can't be too many suspensions. I just love that. So there's some Bach that you're going to have on the program, and I believe you said this is the one piece on the program that's accompanied.
Yes.
What's happening with that?
Yeah, so we typically do a cappella music, and the other Bach motet that we did last year, it was suitable to do it a cappella. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about Lobodein Herren compared to Bach's other motets is that it is one of the few that has an independent basso continuo line. Mm-hmm. Basso continuo being the accompanying group. They're sort of like the rhythm section of a Baroque band.
Okay.
It's typically made up of a keyboard instrument or a chord producing instrument. Would have been harpsichord. In our case, we're using organ, or it could have even been like a lute or a Baroque guitar back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then often a single line instrument playing the bass line, either on a double bass, or it would have been a violone at the time, or a bassoon. And so with most of the motets, the accompanying music that survives, the basso continuo line literally doubled the vocal bass line. But in this instance with Lobit, it's an independent line. And so sometimes it doubles the bass line, but sometimes it's doing something different. So it provides a little bit more variety and a little bit more of a different kind of foundation.
Okay. So that's going to be just a little bit of different coloring for the concert, musical coloring, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so many groups like yours specialize in early music, say from Bach backwards in time. Yet some of your music is by later composers. Tell us about this next piece that we're going to hear and how you came to include it on this concert.
So the next piece that you'll hear is Benjamin Britten's Hymn to St. Cecilia. And a lot of the later composers that we pick often have ties or connections to early music. Britten in particular was heavily influenced by the music of Henry Purcell, Britten being a 20th century British composer, and Henry Purcell being, even though they were separated by 300 years or so, Henry Purcell was one of the other few famous English composers. There wasn't a lot happening on the in the British Isles musically that's still performed today during those couple hundred years in between their two lifetimes. But Britten, with this particular piece, he had in his early life had long wanted to set a piece in honor of Saint Cecilia, who is the patron saint of music. And funnily enough, Benjamin Britten was born on Saint Cecilia's feast day, on November 22nd.
So it holds a special place in his heart.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And other famous composers, Purcell included, as well as Handel, had written odes to St. Cecilia during their lifetime, because St. Cecilia celebrations actually date back to about 16th century France. Oh. And in 1683, the London Musical Society established an annual celebration of St. Cecilia's feast day, and that's where those other odes came from.
Okay. Well, let's listen to just a couple of parts of this hymn to St. Cecilia, written by Benjamin Britten. And here, we'll hear it sung by Tenebrae. Their conductor is Nigel Short.
I am the
We've been listening to some parts of Britten's Hymn to St. Cecilia. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking with Christian Crocker and Michael Weinberg, members of the vocal group Valley Consort. So, Christian, why don't you give us all the details of the upcoming concert? Tell us how we can see the Valley Consort live and in action.
Absolutely. We have two concerts coming up this weekend. Both are at 7 p.m., one on Friday and one on Saturday evening. Friday evening will be at St. Mary's of the Visitation downtown on Jefferson Street. And on Saturday evening will be at St. Thomas Episcopal Church on Bailey Cove Road, and both concerts are at 7 p.m.
Okay, so if you can't go to one, you can go to the other. And I can tell you from experience, I've seen this group, and they're just great. You can tell how passionate these guys are about this music and the background of the music and the execution of the music. It's just been really fun to listen to them talk while the music is playing. I wish everybody could hear that part of it too. Well, so do you have other concerts planned for the Valley Consort that are coming up this season? Are you already starting to think ahead?
Yeah, we actually have a special event coming up in December. It's a little bit different for us, and it's they're kind of doing it as a personal favor for me. So I'm in the process of finishing my doctorate in choral conducting from Yale University, which is where Christian and I, we didn't meet there, but we became friends there, going to school together for 2 years there. So I will be giving my final conducting recital on December 14th at 7 p.m. at the Church of the Nativity downtown. And so on that concert, we'll be doing two of the pieces that we were just talking about, the Bach Lobet den Herrn and the Britten Hymn to St. Cecilia, but we'll be doing two other larger works as well. We'll be doing the Gloria setting by Antonio Vivaldi, which is a popular Baroque piece. And the exciting thing about that particular work is that my choir from Randolph School, the concert choir, is going to be joining us on that piece. So we'll get to combine the adult professional musicians with the student musicians. So I think that'll be a really wonderful collaborative experience and learning opportunity for them.
Oh, it will be so exciting for them to stand on the stage with you guys and get to hear how professional singers do it. That's going to lift them up so much, yeah. I'm sure.
And we're doing one other piece on that as well, and it's another Bach piece. It's a little bit earlier. It's one of his cantatas, Cantata 131.
Okay.
And in May, around May 4th and 5th, we actually are doing another collaboration with Melody Ng from University of Alabama in Huntsville. We'll be presenting Jonathan Dove's The Passing of the Year, which is a work for piano and double chorus.
Oh.
So we're kind of doing a year of double choir. And so that whole concert will be all double chorus. We're doing the Dove, and we'll be doing Mendelssohn's Sechsprüche, which are six pieces that each one was written for a different time of the liturgical calendar, and then his Deutsche Liturgie, which are three settings of mass movements, and then a Lassus Easter motet for 10 voices. So.
Sounds exciting. Well, I want to let our listeners know that if you're driving in your car right now and you're unable to jot down the information on these concerts, you can always go to our website here, wlrh.org, and click on the community tab. There's a calendar link there that will list this and every event that's coming up in the next couple of months. And it's a great resource for art lovers out there. As you approach the weekend, you can just click on the community calendar, see what concerts are coming up, and there are other events listed there too. But of course, here on Morning Blend, we're mostly concerned with the concerts and the musical presentations. So you can find out everything you need to know about those. And so, hey guys, while you're here, we're about to launch into constant fundraising mode tomorrow here for our fall fund drive. Michael, is there any reason you think that folks should make a contribution to their public radio station?
Absolutely. I have donated to WLRH in the past. I love listening to this radio station. I don't listen to the radio a whole lot, and I'm driving around Huntsville. I listen to WLRH. I love listening to all the news programs and the classical music that we get to hear and things like this. But I just love the sense of community that WLRH brings to Huntsville, that people like Christian and me can be here live on the radio to promote our concert that's coming up, and that you offer these PSAs free of charge for members of the community to promote their events. And I think almost every single person I'm friends with listens to WLRH at least some of the time. And so it's just everywhere in the community.
All the best people listen to WLRH.
For sure.
That's true. Well, Christian Crocker and Michael Weinberg, thank you so much for stopping by to talk with all of us today. We'll see see you at the concert this weekend, one of the concerts. You're doing it twice, so we have no excuse not to be out to hear Valley Consort. Let's finish up this segment with one more bit of a cappella vocal music that you can hear on the Valley Consort's concert that's coming up. Here's the Kyrie from the Mass in E-flat by Joseph Rheinberger. It's sung by Stuttgart Kammerchor and led by Frieder Bernius.